Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Celtics will face the Knicks in round two of the NBA playoffs, game one on Monday. And you can talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. And Shams with a little buzzkill yesterday on the Pat McAfee show, and changes maybe coming to the Boston Celtics. We talked about this earlier. But I mean, if Jason Tatum is your guy, then it's got to be you have to go forward with maybe one J and not both J's, and you'll find out if Jason Tatum is the guy.
I am officially against this in any capacity. I will not give the new ownership the pass of the new what the CBA means. I have the Celtics draft history right in front of me.
Yeah.
So you heard him say they could freeze draft picks. Ooh, boy. So since the Celtics drafted Jason Tatum in 2017, that is 8 years ago, there is one player that the Celtics drafted that is a contributing member to the team, and that's Peyton Pritchard. He was drafted 26th overall 5 years ago. So if you lose your draft picks, you're going to be picking 29th or 30th every year anyway.
Doesn't matter anyway.
I don't care. Pay the effing tax.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
This team is ready-made with the best players being in the middle of their prime or entering their prime.
Right.
I don't get, Wiggy is okay with it. If they win it this year, Wiggy's okay with it. I'm not okay with it. If you win it this year, that means to me you have to keep the band together.
I don't think he's saying chemistry. He's okay with
it. No, I'm not okay with it. I'm saying that if you win a back-to-back, it's more likely, and it lessens the blow because you're not going from being one of the better teams in the NBA to, all right, now they traded all these guys and it's just Jason Tatum. They stink. That's not going to be the thing. The thing is going to be, he said five guys. That's basically your five starters. That's the two Jays, Porzingis, Derek White, and Drew Holiday. So in order for it to work moving forward, you as an organization have to say, okay, do we potentially keep the Jays and lose the other three, and then we plug, Pete Pritch becomes a starter, then we find another,
I'm just the concept of the big three.
Right.
Wherever that is, I guess, maybe not going to be something that is sustainable in the NBA going forward because of the collective bargaining agreement. Now, I would guess that the Lakers are going to do everything that they possibly can to line their big three up.
Yeah, it's about it can be done, but the owner's got to be willing to pay the taxes and penalties and the payroll. But generally, you see, Golden State's owner did it because he knew they built a new arena in San Francisco. The Lakers are able to do it because they own their arena. This owner might say, well, we're not going to do it because guess what? We have to pay rent every single year, and who knows what that costs. So that might be a factor on we need to trim some of that payroll so we can get that number lower.
Curtis wanted us to put a poll up this morning, and we did, and 121 votes in, and Would you be okay with major changes to the Celtics roster this offseason? And as you would imagine, 67.8% are not okay with those changes.
So. I do wish we had added if they won a championship.
If it makes a difference.
Yeah, if it makes a difference. But I'm with Greg. And Wiggy, I understand you saying you wouldn't be okay with it, but it does seem like you would rather bring in a Giannis.
Yeah, that's what he wants.
Right.
No, but you have to do that to still be competitive, right? You have to do that. If you can't pay the starting five because they're all making over $28 million, you have to figure out and say, okay, who are we willing to lose so we can lower that number, and then who can we bring in to still keep us competitive to compete for a championship?
I was talking to a guy last night who loves Jason Tatum and Giannis together. Like, if you could ever make that happen, doesn't care if that means that Jaylen Brown is gone, if that means that Kristaps Porzingis is gone, doesn't matter. And that guy's mind.
But if you're the Celtics ownership and front office and you're Brad Stevens, you have to start looking. If the new owner's saying to you, we're not paying this, we have to figure it out. You now have to look and say, what's important?
And I would also say this, Greg, like, I don't want the media, I know Comcast, I know the rights holders, I know the people out there will talk about this like it's a fait accompli, that they have to do this to remain viable. Unless the new owners show me their spreadsheets and say this is where money we're losing, I don't believe it.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can tell me that they could do that would jeopardize this run that was years in the making to get this collection of guys together under contract in Boston for this period.
But to be clear with the direction that they're going to go in, they're now using the basketball penalty portion.
Right.
The second apron. It's not the money. It's the penalty that the team is going to suffer.
What puts you into the second apron? Spending money.
Yes.
Right. So this is a rule that the owners, Wick, all the owners of the NBA, put into place. So if you say, if you go to the ATM and you take out $500 and you go out and you're gambling and you tell Brees, we only have $500.
Yeah.
That's true. But you could have taken out more than $500. It's not the only thing you have in your bank account.
Yeah.
And so I just don't believe the owners. If you're going to tell me that you're buying this team at the top of its value at $6 billion and your first act is to cut costs, then I say you're full of crap.
Right.
This is Bill in the car. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, guys. I just wanted to say that they should leave it together and just win about five or six in a row. And then they'll be worth even more.
Yeah, I your lips to Bill Chisholm's ears, I guess.
If Bill Chisholm had Jeff Bezos' money, maybe he does it. But does it seem like, all right, if you're cutting costs, don't you look and go, okay, well, I mean, I got money. Don't get it twisted. I'm not saying he don't got money, but he's like, don't have that funny money, where Bezos is like, all right, I'm paying the luxury tax.
Not many people do. I mean, it's really Bezos and Elon.
Yeah.
But again, like, you're spending, this happens if you're going to pay the most ever for an NBA franchise, $6 billion, then you're either going to be all in and spend whatever it takes, or you're going to find a way to make that work for you.
Because if Sham's saying it, right? Isn't he hearing whispers from what potentially the people in the front office of the Celtics are thinking?
Well, I don't know. He kind of, the way he said it, he's kind of like hearing it around the league. Like, the league is saying there's no way they can keep this going, and there's no way that they can keep doing this. But Curtis is right. They can do it as long as they want.
Curtis was also right, though. It's interesting timing for this to come out.
Of course. So, the day that they approved the sale, now we're past the point of no return. The most plugged-in guy in the sports telling you what their plans are.
Yeah. This is Scott from Westford. Hey, Scott, what's going on?
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing great. We're in Springfield, Massachusetts. Good morning.
Love it.
Great road show attendance. Great crowd last night at Taps. We're awesome, Scott.
I can't wait to go body surfing before Bernie's again. So this will be the third one.
Excellent.
That's me. Anyways, so I have a question, and this is a legit question. For the whole room and everybody. So all this, like, all these taxes, if they spend money, obviously they're going to earn money because we're all fans and whatnot. But whose pockets get lined by all these fines? Is it the commissioner? Is it the owners? How does that work?
It goes back to the league. It's not about paying the bills. It's about penalizing teams. It's about trying to create
parity.
Parity. You know, it's same with the NFL. It's not about trying to raise funds to keep the lights on at the league office.
But it is a legal form of collusion. Like, it's something that the owners do legally in a collective bargaining agreement to tell players this is as much as we'll spend before we have massive penalties.
Yeah.
And the Celtics, being ahead of this, what Wick said to us at Wachusett resonated because he said, I don't think there will be any team that spends 2 years in the second apron. And that means that they're not going to do it and they're going to cut costs.
Yeah. Well, you better enjoy this one while you can.
Right.
So, it will be Celtics-Knicks, and game one is Monday. We are at Max's Swing Lounge at the Basketball Hall of Fame here in Springfield. And road shows this fourth road show season brought to you by Miller Lite. It is Miller Time New England by Harbor One Bank. They know your business like nobody's business. By Absolute Ocean Spray Vodka Cranberry Sparkling Cocktails, because some collaborations are just destined to be, born to mix. I don't know if you tried one of those last
Delicious.
Night. Very, very,
very, very good.
And by Land Rover Norwood, where everything is different. Coming up, we'll get to the weekly wrap-up when it comes to sports, and that's wrap-up with an R from Acrobatic. But right now, here is Courtney and what is trending this hour.
The Christian Arcan Show, weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Subaru of New England. Greg just brought up the fact that the Celtics and Knicks will kick off on Monday, but the other NBA playoff game last night, the Clippers tie up their series with the Nuggets, sending the series to a Game 7. The Red Sox drop another to the Blue Jays in Toronto 4-2 after the Sox jumped out to a 2-0 start in the top of the fifth. They led by one entering the bottom of the eighth, but a three-run homer from Vlad Guerrero Jr. would do them in. Tanner Houck went 7 innings, giving up a run on 4 hits while striking out 6. A good outing,
good outing for him.
He needed that. Here's Tanner from last night's Nissan Red Sox postgame show.
Felt better, kind of all around, especially in the delivery. Talked about it before, being a hypermobile guy, I need to really stay connected and in tune with the delivery to go out there and execute pitches. And felt like Narvi and I worked really well together today and stuck to the game plan all the way through.
Wiggy wants a little accountability from the manager of this baseball team, from Alex Cora.
Well, yeah.
At this point.
Well, Wiggy Sununu.
No, I think that, like, now there's no excuses. Like, there's no, oh, we don't have the talent, we don't have the bats, we don't have this, we don't have that. It's like little things that you said, you know.
Well, you talk about it all the time, like how much, and Curtis brings it up, how much can a manager in Major League Baseball really do? You certainly can tell him to walk Vlad Guerrero Jr.
You can.
And you certainly can, when you get a guy who's, you know, the first start back, who's heading into the sixth inning, you can tell him no go.
Yeah.
So those are managerial decisions.
They should have swept the Blue Jays and they lost the series.
Yeah.
Well, the Sox now turn their attention to Minnesota. First pitch tonight at 7:10 from Fenway with Brian Baio taking the mound. You can listen to the game right here on EEI. Mike Monaco joining Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Kick things off with Christian Arcan at 6:07 for the Mass Mutual pregame show. As for the NHL playoff games last night, the Oilers take their series with the Kings. That's for Wiggy.
All right, Wiggy.
The Oilers-Washington, that's what I want to see, the matchup.
The Avalanche tie things up with the Stars, sending their series to a Game 7. The Knights take their series with the Wild, and the Leafs take theirs with the Senators.
The Mass Lottery celebrates the games that we love, from the baseball diamond to the lottery games that support all of our 351 cities and towns. Mass Lottery, welcome to the state of winning.
And that was brought to you by Subaru of New England. Let love bloom in a new Subaru, SubaruofNewEngland.com. Explore up to 581 miles on a single tank in Subaru's most fuel-efficient Forester ever, the 2025 Subaru Forester Hybrid. Learn more at SubaruofNewEngland.com. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. It's 55 degrees in Boston. Cloudy skies, afternoon high,
70s. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment. All so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
We are in Springfield for the first week of a long roadshow season, and this show is brought to you locally by Sarrett Ford Lincoln, by 90 Meat Outlet, by Rocky's Ace Hardware, by MGM Springfield, and by Tap Sports Bar, where we were last night. And I want to thank every single one of you who came out and watched the games with us last night and hung out. And I actually should get my thanks in now. A little Odyssey app appreciation for Eric, the UPS driver.
All right.
And for Robert, who works at Bay State Noble, which he said is the very best hospital in the 413. So,
awesome.
And I know you guys met a whole bunch of people last night.
That, so many people.
I relived Eric Shun with a couple listeners.
Yeah.
And it was just everything about it perfectly encapsulates. Because as I kept talking to people last night, the ingredients are the same, but every day the dish ends up different.
Yeah,
and you have like this perfect storm where Courtney sends a story that was fake. I don't remember the topic. It was like right at the start of the NCAA tournament because we went on with the afternoon show with banners that day. And it doesn't dawn on me because at that time, the blue check mark still meant something.
Yeah.
Elon Musk had just bought Twitter. We hadn't seen the Wild West yet. And I just assumed it was probably accurate but weird. The next morning, Courtney says it on the show.
Lead.
I didn't notice the
full lead.
I believe it was my lead.
So
yeah,
at no point when I received the message from Courtney did I realize Eric Shun. I just saw the blue check mark and kept going.
Right.
I think it was Coach Eric
That's
Shun
coach,
as well.
Yeah,
like once
coach.
The coach is in front of it.
But then Courtney does her lead, and she says Coach Eric Shun. All of us are losing our ever-loving mind at how clearly wrong this is because it clicks with me that it's about an erection. Then Courtney finishes it. No clue.
None.
We go to break. No clue. Has no idea what she just said. And then we come back and she says it again. And it was like this organic moment that you could never script.
It's her unintentional brilliance.
Really. I mean,
it really is.
I'm an entertainer first.
Really
yeah.
Good morning and hello to those of you that are watching today on YouTube or on Twitch. And this show on Twitch is presented every day by Springer's Jewelers. And if you're looking for a fun activity over Mother's Day weekend, then take the family to Springer's for their locket bar event. And the kids can create a one-of-a-kind locket for mom that she will cherish always. So go to springersjewelers.com for that. Speaking of leads, Curtis's lead this morning on the Tennessee football program and the expectation that I'm just going to call it salary because it's what it is.
Right.
That they will spend up to $40 million on their football players this season. This is Randy from Providence on that. Randy, good morning.
Hey guys, how's it going this morning?
Great. How are you?
I'm all right. So you guys were talking about the NIL stuff earlier. And like for myself, I look at it from like an NFL team building perspective. I'm just not a big college guy. And I think it's been really good for the NFL teams for two reasons. Number one, like you can kind of see what a guy turns into when he gets his money. Cause you know, that's always a difference. And, before you have to take a risk on him with a high draft pick. And then secondly, the transfer portal, it has guys jumping team to team, so you can kind of see them in different roles. Like in this past draft, Nick Skirton was a good example of that, went from Purdue to Texas A&M, played at different weights, different roles, or with different supporting casts. Like QBs, this is big. So like Kyle McCord, Will Howard, and then of course Cam Howard this past draft. But that also there's like a larger pool of people who have worked with them that can give interested teammates some insight like into who the kid is. And so, but I think that like the NIL stuff is really only like the half of the positive changes we've seen in the last 10 to 15 years. Cause we're 15 years into the new CBA agreement, right? And if you guys remember,
changed the way drafting was done, right? Because it limited the amount of cap that you'd have to pay your incoming rookies. So, like, to put numbers on it, 20 years ago, like, under the old CBA agreement, a first-round pick could make up to 4.3% of the total salary cap. Under the new agreement, it's just 1.6. Yeah. And, like, to put more dollar numbers on it, like, 2010, Sam Bradford was the first overall pick, the last one under the, like, before the new CBA, and his contract was worth a total of $78 million.
It
was
Curtis 6 years, loves 13 getting, per. Like, when you get deep in the cap like this, yeah. Curtis loves it.
100% of me doesn't care about the cap, but I would also say what the NFL will have to deal with is not the vast majority of college players that will enter the NFL and not want to play. The linemen, the middle of the pack roster, the vast majority of those guys will still go to the NFL because they won't make enough money in college to push them away from the salaries of the league. What we're talking about are the people that drive the NFL, Arch Manning, the people that are the quarterbacks that are going to enter at $20 million. You're going to have a draft where a guy will say, I want to go to this team. We've already heard warnings of it.
Right. I'll wait it out because I already have $10 million.
Right, and if you don't want to take me, fine. Waste your first pick on someone else.
And one point that he made, I think you can look at Shedeur Sanders and say maybe, no offense, Wiggy, maybe people were able to understand what he was going to be like when he got some money. Like, maybe.
But I feel like Shedeur Sanders had money his whole life.
Yeah, he's always had for money. I think what it will do is, I agree with him that it'll show, like, okay, when guys get money, some guys do get lazy. But the other thing it'll do is, say, like, a guy like, Arch Manning, who is making $6 million, or somewhere in that world. We don't know what the number is, but we know.
We know exactly what it is. I said it earlier.
Is it $6 million exactly?
His family went and got that money. It's all their own deal. It's not.
Yeah, it's the NIL monies, right?
So, you think at Thanksgiving the Mannings blow their nose in $20 bills like a Dumb and Dumber?
Probably. Yeah.
And what's going to happen is the pressure of you as the quarterback making that much money will show how good you really are in college, because now there's a lot of pressure on you. People are going to be like, you're not worth $6 million after week two, Arch Manning.
He's not a good example.
Why?
Because he already had pressure on him because his last name's Manning.
Okay, yeah, man.
So that's going
like
to be
Carson Beck.
Yeah,
Carson Beck is making $4 million down at the University of Miami. So now that's a lot of pressure for him to perform because now the school.
You're wrong about that.
Why?
Because the pressure has been on those guys to get to the NFL.
Right, to get money.
The pressure's off when you already got the money.
No, I'm talking. No.
Why do you think the NFL, as Randy just made a great point, and I was joking about the cap a bit, but why do you think they restructured the pay scale of rookies?
Oh, I know why they did that, because I was in the league at that time, because rookies were coming in making more than veterans were making.
Why is that a problem?
That's a problem because it's more about, like, I think it was more you got to, like, prove it and earn it type deal.
Okay, so if a guy enters already having been paid what they've restructured the contract.
But it's not that way. It's not. See, that's the thing. It's not even close. Arch Manning's making $6 million. If he goes number one overall next year, he's going to be guaranteed $45 million.
Wiggy, we are on the ground floor of this. This has just begun.
Right, but it'll never get to that point where.
How could you say that?
It will never get to the point where they're paying college athletes $20 million a year.
Yelling doesn't prove your point.
I think you're wrong.
But it's facts.
But I think you're wrong.
It is facts.
You're wrong.
The number one overall pick this year is going to be guaranteed about $40 million.
So if I play quarterback 3 years at Texas, and I make $10 million a year, which I'm sorry, Wiggy, we're in year three of this and they're already spending $40 million on the roster, money's going to go up as more teams compete, then you're going to enter the league with $40
million. But I'm telling you, there won't be a guy, at least not in the next 15 to 20 years, that's making $10 million a year.
Oh, I think you're so wrong.
Let me just put this on the table.
You brought up boosters.
Yes.
And if these boosters are seeing, okay, all this talent is going to Texas because they have $40 million to spend, okay, well, then I want all the talent to make my football program better, they're just going to put more money into it. There's going to be a time where a quarterback in college is making over $10 million.
Easily.
I say in the next 3 years.
And Courtney, that's exactly what I was going to say. It's a great point because you're going to see, just to throw out names, Dave Portnoy went to Michigan. He's got crazy amount of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Matthew McConaughey went to Texas.
Right.
He has crazy amount of money.
Well,
there's
even,
one quarterback they're vying for.
Even, never mind Portnoy, the woman who funded Michigan, her husband is the tech guy.
Yeah, the billionaire. What the hell is his name?
NetSuite is his company,
Ellison?
Which is Larry Ellison. Mrs. Ellison can put $50 million into that program
right.
if she wants
to. What if Mrs. Bezos says she wants a quarter? I don't know where she went to school. But
Where's John Curtis for
right.
the BC
well,
football team?
That's going to Montessori.
I think the other way part of it goes the other way, and you're starting to see it, is because guys like Quinn Ewers and guys like Carson Beck, and we don't know what Archman is going to be. Some of these guys, they get there, and then they play, and they're not very good. If you look at Cam Ward went to a FCS school in Carson Ward in Texas. Then he goes to Arizona State, and he's there for a couple of years, and he's just a guy. Then he ultimately played really well in Miami. But a lot of these guys, look at Quinn Ewers, they paid him a ton of money, and then he went the other way.
Can I ask the question, what if you go to a school, if Arch Manning goes, and $6 million guaranteed, like you guys said, yeah. and is unbelievable, lights out, and another school comes to him and says, hey, we want to pay you $10 million yeah, right. to come play here.
Yeah,
that's how it's going to happen.
He's all good with it. Yeah. But I got a text from my guy, Matt Morrissey, on the personal text machine, which reads, Wiggy is cool with kids coming into the league saying they are legendary and franchise changers, but not okay with them making more money than the veterans.
No, but I have no problem with him.
That's hypocritical.
But I have no problem. Tell your boy, I got no problem with a guy who is confident in his ability and talks about it and comes in, and whether they want to be swagged out and they want diamonds and they want to have Louis bags and they want to have money and they want to have hangout with rappers. I got no issues with that whatsoever. But when we're talking about Shedeur Sanders, and the fact that Shedeur Sanders went from a top 10 projected pick to the fifth round, that's some shenanigans. I don't care.
It's because he's a
no, Greg, stop it. This never happened in history. Never. Baker Mayfield was running down the street, dead ass drunk from the cops when he got out his vehicle, running into stop signs, and went number one overall.
We've had this argument for a full
stop
week,
it.
And all you do is raise your voice.
Because, so, Greg, you're making no sense.
We have a lot of guests here.
I see them all.
Friends, can you just
all right.
just talk in a normal way? Normal voice.
I'm passionate about what I'm talking about.
I know, because you know it all.
No,
just to be clear.
Yep.
I don't think happened very frequently where you had a quarterback show up and they're like, hey, can you, before you come here, can you take a look at the playbook? And then he showed up and said, didn't have time to take a look at the playbook,
right.
but I have some ideas
right.
about what we should do with the team
right.
culture-wise before you draft me.
I get that. I get that.
So that's on
okay.
him.
Okay.
But that drops five.
So that drops you down to the end of the first round. You were tripping about last year. I bring my voice down. Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams says, hey, I want a piece of the team.
That was his dad.
No, Caleb Williams. I want a piece of the team.
That was his dad.
I want a piece of the team. And guess what? Where'd Caleb Williams go?
Because he had the talent.
Number one overall.
He had the talent.
Number one overall.
He had the talent.
Johnny Manziel used to run around, and he gloated, right. and he was right. cocky and all
you
that.
You think that NFL teams who are trying to win ignored somebody with starter talent at quarterback because he's a rapper?
Did you watch?
Because it's a culture.
Did you watch the Louisville quarterback play?
Bad.
He stinks. He went in the second round.
There's only like three teams that needed quarterbacks.
Yeah, and New Orleans was one of them.
Yeah.
So tell me why you go from a first to a fifth round. It's never happened.
Do you want us to continue with this argument, or we should get to? No. All right. No. All right. We got to get to the weekly wrap up, and we need to thank Acrobatic.
Oh yeah.
The man is a talent.
Yep.
World renowned.
Straight fire, spitting bars again.
I mean, like, unbelievable MC. And so on this show every week, he wraps up the week in sports. And here for you now is the weekly wrap up from Acrobatic.
What up? It's another Acrobatic recap. By now we know the Orlando Magic be a wrap. We seen it coming after game three, slight hiccup. With Tatum healed up, that business might pick up. 35 points, three straight games, you heard. A playoff feat only matched by Larry Bird. So big shout out to number zero. Can't forget about the C's unsung heroes. They out here doing all sorts of shit. Giroux won the league award for good sportsmanship.
That's what's up.
Now he's day to day with a hamstring, but he ain't the only one doing a damn thing. Of course, Pete Pritchman, vintage, leading all on season field goal percentage. Big Al's a one-of-a-kind athlete. Players like that should have their own stat sheet. Direct quote from Coach Joe Mazzulla. If you disagree, then check your medulla. Oblongata, have a glass of water. Then pray for the Knicks, they about to get slaughtered.
Take them out, y'all.
Just because they beat the Pistons doesn't mean they put up any more than weak resistance. Last couple times the Sox played the Guardians, everybody up to bat was out there partying. It looked like the Sox wouldn't never get hits. Now they running ish like Coach Belichick's chick. But last night was a bad failure. They got their hearts broken by Vlad the Impaler. Chill, we love Bill, but our concerns are real. We don't want to see him getting fired by the Tar Heels. Critics are going at Campbell hard. They say his arms are too short to box with God. By his second year, he gonna be amazing. No glazing, but he just a rookie. Stop hazing. This is Acro speaking. I love Boston sports on my birthday weekend. Turn it up.
Give a round of applause for acrobatics.
And
so
happy
good.
Birthday.
Yeah, right.
Happy birthday.
Oh, my God. That was good.
Yeah.
Even got glazing in there.
Yep. Yeah.
Right. Really.
I love him.
I mean, he's unbelievable.
Pen game is
what
just
movie
amazing.
Do you think of when you hear Medulla Oblongata?
Waterboy.
My man.
But Mama said.
All right. And we want to thank the Wiggy's guys at Boston Sports Company, because they introduced us to acrobatics.
Yeah, they do a great job over there. Right. Go get you your Pritch Please shirts. That's where they got all that stuff over there. Yep. Marlon, what up?
All right. We're about to go over the NIL demands of Wiggy Sunt with the defensive coordinator at UMass, Jared Kite, and he will join us next. We're in Springfield. Happy Woo-hoo! Friday, everybody.
We made it.
Roadshow number one at Max's Swing Lounge. We'll be right back. Finally, roadshow season underway, and it is roadshow number one in Springfield at Max's Swing Lounge. Roadshow number two coming up. In a couple weeks, we will be at the Lobster Trap in Bourne. But right now, we are joined by the defensive coordinator at the University of Massachusetts, Jared Kite. How you doing?
I'm very good. How are you?
Great. I want to get to Wiggy's kids. Or
starting hot.
Or as we refer to him as a sports parent, Dion. But we've been talking a little bit about Tennessee. I don't know if you heard the show this morning, but they're going to have I call it a payroll.
Texas.
We're going to they're going to have a payroll of $40 million.
Mm-hmm.
Is that good or bad for college football?
You know, I think the players, I think it's right they're getting paid, you know, and different levels are going to have different pay levels. You know, so I think opinions are going to vary, good or bad. I think it's the right thing that they're getting paid, so you know, that's my opinion.
Does it change the player? Like, do they change when they get that money? They get it now before, you know, you still have to wait. You still have to work to get to the NFL to get the money.
Yeah, I think naturally, you know, an 18-year to 22-year-old getting that level of money, certainly there's going to be some changes in life. But I think the foundation around them, the culture that's built, you know, the family support, I think all of those things come into play. So, you know, when you have those things, I don't think you see that much change.
Does it change at all their relationship with the coach? Because I always think before they were getting paid, and I'm with you, I want them to get paid, but if they're now making more than some coaches, does it give them an upper hand that they didn't have before?
You know, in my experience, when the relationship is there, you don't see that as much. So I think it starts there. You
Got
know,
it.
If there isn't a relationship, I think it truly becomes a business where, if, you know, in college football, you're building relationship between coach and player, player to coach. I don't think you see much.
That was an issue with Brockton. Wiggy was making $100K. The kids were making
right.
nothing.
Right.
Yeah, well, the high school kids. But I would say that's the great thing about what I'm loving about UMass now is the culture and the relationship between coaches and players, and they're doing a great job. And the biggest thing is transparency, and that's something that I've seen that you guys have really brought in, accountability, transparency, and culture. And if you have coaches like that, I don't think there is an issue. But UMass, that's what it looks like you guys are building on.
Yeah, I'm happy you said that. That's where we want to start. You know, I think if you have – a care level, and the kids know that you're coaching them hard, that's when you're going to see the most growth. So I think it starts there, and winning's in the details. So, you know, coaching up every detail and passionately, but with a care level that the coaches know that, you know, the players will have their back and vice versa.
You use the word start, which I think is a great word. We're not going to leave until you guarantee that Jermaine Jr. will be starting. And I just want you – have you heard of Tom Brady?
Say it again.
Have you heard of Tom Brady?
Of course.
Okay, so Tom Brady right now is the, you know, greatest football player of all time. But without a Wiggins starting, he may not be doing anything but selling insurance. So Jermaine Jr. and Jaden, they could be your Tom Brady that you put in there, and then you're the next head coach of Auburn.
I love it. They had a great spring.
Yeah.
We have something to build off.
Yeah. The only thing, that, and they do a great job, is just it's all about opportunity. And once you get your opportunity, it's up to what you do with it. And that's the thing that I think that, you know, any parent who sends their kid to college, it really shouldn't be about the money. I know money's part of it, but the thing that I always taught my kids, and I think the thing that UMass, it's about the relationship with the coaches and the coach, head coach and Coach A. Let me see if I can get it right. Harris Simiak, the head coach. So, and you know what Coach Kite is doing. It's about that relationship that they have is more important than money and that kind of thing. Because everybody wants the goal. You know, I always say NIL, but everybody wants the NFL goal. But you need to have a great relationship with your coach so he'll vouch for you with those scouts.
Right, and the right last name.
Unless you're Shador.
were you surprised that Shador fell as far as Shador fell?
I honestly didn't have as much time to track, you know, all of that. I was a little bit surprised just seeing, you know, all of the media and where they projected him to be. Didn't think he would fall to where he did. But there's obviously, you know, owners and GMs saw a reason or whatever it might be for him to fall to there.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do we have to do? Because back in the 90s, we had UMass BC, the Commonwealth Classic. It was awesome. It was at the Garden. It was really the only good thing at when the Fleet Center opened. We're BC people, Courtney and I. And, you know, BC gets a good crowd when they're good. You know, they're in the ACC. But UMass has been in D1 for how long now? And how do we get this region that got so into UMass basketball? How do we get this region into college football? Because people love college football. We watch college football. It's just it hasn't translated to the fan interest in the region.
Yeah, I think, you know, our start here is we've built a level of excitement, right? We haven't played a game yet, so I think just getting out in the community, you know, promoting ourselves and getting around and showing the new UMass and getting out. And obviously it's going to come down. We got to play good football. I think we're in a good situation moving into the MAC conference. You know, we're going to have some stability. We're going to be the furthest northeast school in the MAC, which is going to help us in our recruiting trail. So I'm excited about the future of UMass, and I think it's going to start. You know, we're carrying momentum from the spring. We're going to carry it into the summer, into camp, and hopefully play good football in the fall.
I want to drive out, make the trip out, and see Wiggy's boys play. What should we circle schedule-wise?
Say it again.
What game should we come out? When should we come out?
I think the first game. I think you should be there for Temple.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Every game. I'll be there for every game. Okay. What does it mean? Because
Does Wiggy coach from the sidelines?
He hasn't. No.
No.
Sure?
Not that I've heard. I wear the double headset.
Yeah, I stay far away from that. I stay far away from that. But you talked about being in the MAC, and, you know, a lot of fans around here have known UMass to be independent and how tough that was. What does it mean actually for the program and the opportunity of being actually now in a conference? What will that mean for UMass moving forward?
Yeah, I think it helps us in our recruiting imprint, you know, really being in the Northeast and recruiting this area, knowing that guys are going to stay in the area and play close. I think the stability and conference schedule, playing similar opponents and having common opponents from year to year so that we can study and prepare. You know, I think it's just an exciting time for our school and our program to get that type of stability. You know, we're still going to play a couple big games a year. We'll have the non-conference schedule, but to have a conference to play in week in and week out, I think is really going to be good for us moving forward.
All right. Well, it's up to you to get both of the Wigan.
And that's up to them to do it.
I didn't even finish my sentence. But anyway, good luck. We can't wait for this season. And how about a round of applause for UMass?
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right.
All right. Great job. We will take a quick break, but we will be right back at a roadshow in Springfield on WEEI.